Thank you for joining us for today's Real Life Today Bible Study with Dr. Brad Witt from the Book of Romans. Thank you for your prayer and support that enables us to share this practical biblical teaching. So grab a Bible, a notebook, and a pen, and let's study God's Word together.
Hey, so we're in Romans chapter 1 again today in our Everest study. And again, this is the high point. This is, I believe, really, this is the high watermark in scriptural revelation is the book of Romans. And we've been working our way through Romans chapter 1, and we've been talking about the fact that man is inexcusable. And so Paul here says that man is without excuse. Why? Well, we've already seen because God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. The very nature of the gospel means that man has a need. The Savior means that man is a sinner. The man's a sinner means that he needs a Savior. And so we're not saved by our works. We're saved by Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, what he did for us on the cross. But then also he's without excuse because God's wrath is revealed from heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. Paul says you can look outside and see all the creation and you know that there's a creator and even wrath that comes with that, that's in our very soul. And so we know that. And so God's knowledge also, again, is revealed through nature. That's what I meant to say a moment ago, that the very fact that you can look outside and see all of creation means that there is a creator. And so as a result of that, man is without excuse. And so we're talking about where knowledge is revealed. We talked last time about what knowledge has been revealed. And then we talked about when knowledge has been revealed, for since the creation of the world. And how has it been revealed? Well, because being understood by the things that are made. God is to be understood by his works. And as a result of all of that, they are without excuse. And so that brings us today to verse 21. And this is really unbelief's consequences, the inevitable consequences of man's unbelief. He says there, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. This knowledge not only creates a responsibility, it commands a responsibility. We have, in these verses that I just read for you a moment ago, all of the vast, the vicious effects of man's rebellion against the knowledge of God. Again, whether that knowledge came through nature, whether it came through scripture, but it is certain, it is inevitable, and it's revealed in three things. First of all, there's this downgrade, this degradation of religion. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The very first effect of disobeying, rebelling against whatever knowledge we possess, it has this degrading effect on our inner life. What was intended, meant to reveal God, now actually obscures him. The knowledge that should be light now becomes like darkness. And so what was wisdom has now become foolishness, Paul says. And so it says here, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So when did man know God? Don't most religions teach that man is just gradually growing in his knowledge of God through some sort of religious evolution? That's what most religions say. So what does it mean there when it says there, although they knew God? Does it mean what it says, or did Paul make a mistake here? Well, Paul's right, of course, when he declares that at one time man knew God, but although knowing God, man, he refused God's claim over him. And again, the result was this religious, this intellectual, this moral degradation, depravity that set in which they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so it's just not true that in man's experience, he started with an idol and he ended with God. But rather, the Bible tells us man started with God and now has ended with an idol. It doesn't matter whether that idol is a piece of stone, or a tree, a totem, a piece of gold, or some trophy in America, whether it's the gods of the jungle, or whether it's the mental gods of the universities, it doesn't matter. The religious history of the human race from the very beginning of time till today is recorded here in these brief verses that I just read for you and that we're going to be studying together this morning. History began with a clear, perfect knowledge of God. But it has been in a constant state of downfall, degradation, ever since. Instead of regeneration, there's this degradation. It has been in a downward spiral, not in an upward climb. It has been away from God instead of toward God. And so the absence of truth, really what has happened, has brought the presence of error and falsehood. And in this, in turn, has led to this inevitable process of evil that has produced this just succession after succession of decay and decline in nations and empires, this disgrace to individuals. That's what happens when man rebelled against God. There was light that man once received there in his original creation. That's Genesis 1 and John 1. And that original light was the divine light in which he was created. But with that light came certain responsibilities. And with it, there was this positive and this negative command. The negative command back in Genesis 2, verse 16, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you may not eat. There's that negative. You can have all this, but you can't have this. This is one thing you cannot do. That's a negative. But then there was this positive, Genesis 1, 8, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion. So the result of keeping the negative command would have been spiritual life. The result of keeping him the positive one would have been physical life. But what did Adam do? Adam turned from the light and as a result lost both his spiritual life and his natural life. He lost his soul and his conscience. He went out, he built cities and civilizations and empires, but all of them we see today, they're empty of the knowledge of God. They're empty, that original knowledge of God. So from knowing God as a person, walking with him every day in the Garden of Eden, what Adam did, Adam made a god of his surroundings. And so generation after generation after generation, there's this downfall, there's this degradation, it became more pronounced, more perverse, until at last we see here the heart of man really in the depths of religion, religious depravity there in the human race. We see the end of man's original intelligent, enlightened, and personal fellowship with God. And it's displayed here in this revolting, this idol and fetish worship, if you will. And so, you know, back in the beginning, man was a monotheist. He worshiped one God. He was a worshiper of one God, the God of the garden. And ever since that time after the garden, man has, all over the world, had been a polytheist, a worshiper of many gods. You've got the gods of the jungles. You've got the gods of the deserts. Again, you've got the gods of the academies. There's no, as you read your Bible, there's no sign of idolatry in the Old Testament until you come on some other day around when Abraham lived there in Ur of the Chaldees. And you see this corruption of religion that resulted in that idolatry. And so, you know, the archaeologist tells us, hey, the outstanding feature of all of that remote civilization as it related to the Bible is the evidence that it was monotheistic until the polytheists began to move in. There was this belief in the one supreme God, and then it gave way after man's fall to the belief in many gods. And so there are more and more people around the world today. What they're doing is they're turning the scripture backwards. They're reversing it. So man created God in his own image. In the image of man, he created him. No, that's not right. Man didn't create God. God created man. But now man is creating God in his own image. And so the fact is that being made in the image of God, man has descended to the place where he has lost that reflection. He has lost that revelation of that original image. And what he's doing now is he's just groping and grasping in the darkness. And so in this picture that Paul presents for us here, what we can do is we can trace man's religious degradation to this ingratitude. Neither were thankful, he says. This intellectual pride. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So that's a testimony of the Bible. That's a testimony of Scripture. It's verified by modern research. Both history and archaeology, that they both reveal, they show for us the religious fall of man. You can trace it all the way from the hymns of the Hindus, all the way through Egypt and Babylon to Greece and to Rome. We see in the Bible how man failed to regain the height from which he had fallen, even coming to the first scriptures through Moses. And so it's never going to be accomplished until man is restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the highest revelation of God. Through him comes the righteousness of God. Don't ever forget that. Jesus is the highest, the best, the greatest revelation of God. He is the Logos. He's the Word of God. Through him comes the righteousness of God. What was lost in that first Adam in his religious experience is restored in the last Adam in spiritual life. And so what man lost in fellowship with the personal God, what he has tried for centuries and millennia to regain by all of his idolatry and pagan worship, all the hedonism and the polytheism, is found in a relationship with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What was lost in unbelief is restored by faith. What was lost through disobeying what God had said in his word is restored by being obedient to God's written word. What man has tried to regain by religious accolades and achievement through law, through works, and through worship, through all these acts of penance, those sorts of things, is gained by faith. Why? Because Paul says, the just shall live by faith. That's what he says. And so the one reveals God and the way to him, while the other obscures God and the way to him. And by that, the mind, the imaginations of the human thought, the human heart's darkened. That's what Paul says. So what's been revealed and what we have related really to the supporting evidences of the religious downfall and degradation of man is the fact that you can just clearly see in nature. And so that's a principle in nature. There's this principle called the law of reversion. I'll have time to go into too much detail today, but basically if you leave man, leave anything to itself, it just reverts to its wild self. You see that in plants, you see that in animals, you see that even in the stories about humans that are lost out in nature. Left to himself, left to itself, everything in this created world reverts to its wild self. And so religion points to the need of redemption. History warns us against neglect. And then biology, if you will, declares the necessity of a new birth. There's this inevitable consequence of unbelief that not only leads to this degradation, the turning of light to darkness, from knowledge to ignorance, but as we continue here, it also leads to a lot of other sad consequences. Picking up in verse number 22, there's this corruption of the intelligence, not just the degradation of religion, but there's this corruption of intelligence. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. This corruption of intelligence is very, very specific. It is an intelligence of the mind in respect to God. Man has had a notable career, conquering all the elements. I mean, think about all the technology that we have today. Think about how we've conquered, I mean, just really the world, even the atom, if you will. All the science, all the arts, but in religious science, if you will, he's a baby. And so it literally means here, in their reasonings, in their speculations, they went astray. And that's always the way it is. The person who knows his responsibility to God and doesn't glorify him as God, he's incapable of thinking correctly, rightly about God. And so that wasn't always the case. There was a time when man's thoughts, when man thought God's thoughts after him. That, somebody says, you know, theology is thinking God's thoughts after him. Once he possessed this perfect intelligence, with that intelligence, man, he could set himself, he could do what he'd been called to do, being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing, subduing, having dominion over all the earth. That's what man could do before the fall. He could have discovered the laws of nature and life a whole lot sooner than all the scientists like Newton and Galileo did. He could have discovered all the forces of electricity and radio before Edison and those guys. But instead, when he sinned, he lost everything. We lost everything when Adam sinned. We lost the brilliance of the intellect, and there's this eclipse of the soul, and man has just had to, over the millennia, climb and grope his way out of that pit. And he's got to await this complete restoration. This restoration began in Christ's redemption there on the cross. It will be completed in Christ's glory at his return. And so what we have to understand here, and really just particularly note, is how the Bible is so very accurate in just recording man's history. It talks here about the corruption of the intelligence. The Bible talks about the earliest life, declares that to man have been perfect in intelligence. Think about it. Adam was able to give names to every animal on the planet. I mean, all of the names in the zoological world, Adam was able to give names. Platypus, Bill Platypus, how does he give name to all those things? He was brilliant. And then you, after him, you have the, there's this guy named Lamech, three sons. They introduced all the earliest crafts. Jabal, first farmer, agriculturalist, if you will. Jubal, the father of music. Third, Tubal-Cain, was this first metallurgist, the first industrialist, if you will. And so man was very smart. And if you watched over the years, man, just this downgrade, this degradation set in. Everything man touched, it just began to fall apart. And so man has lost his moral. He's lost his intellectual, spiritual sense of God. Why? Because he lost God. And he's not going to find all of that. He's not going to find God until he finds the way back to God. And the way back to God is not an intellectual way. It's not a religious way. It's not a moral way. You can't think your way back to God. Because again, our human thought life is not going to match up. It's not going to measure up with the divine thought life, with God's thought life. The carnal mind is at war with God, the Bible says. You can't worship your way back to God. Because man's a spiritual rebel. You can't moralize, be a good person, and get your way back to God. Because, again, our entire character is corrupted by sin. We've got to be regenerated back to God, again, through the process of the new life, through the new birth. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And so the way back to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so it's more here than just a religious question. It's more than a religious question. It's more than an intellectual question. It's more than a moral question. It's a biological question. And Christ, again, who is the logos, or the science, even if you will, of God, supplied the new biology in the words, but as many as received him, to them he gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Again, who were not born of the blood, born of blood or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in order to regain what Adam lost, we've got to be redeemed. We've got to be restored. There's got to be this regeneration. And it comes through new life. That comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's pick it up. Let's end here tonight, today. Verse 23, there's this debasing of God. Not just the downgrade, not just the degradation, but there's this debasing. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. What did man want? They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be as gods. And what happened? He changed his God for gods. He changed the glory of the person of God revealed in that garden fellowship for the debasing idols, images of his hands. Go back and study archaeology. Study history. The history of natural religion as it relates and is revealed in religion is what it is. It's one of substitution. Man substituted gods, plural, for the one God. Cain substituted a sacrifice. Sarah substituted a son. Aaron substituted a calf. And all throughout human history, what religion is, it is simply an effort of substitution, seeking some sort of justification by his intellectual genius instead of just simple faith. And you can see it. This progress of man, every generation of idols is just lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. You see it all the way through. First he made God into an image like a man. First he fashioned, then he fashioned God into animals like birds. And then there's his four-footed animals Paul talks about here. And then finally the lowest form of idolatry, the figure of reptiles. And you can see that all the way through the humanized gods of the Egyptians. There's the Roman eagle, the bull of the Egyptians later on, the serpent of the Assyrians. You examine all the crest of the nations, their images, their emblems are of beast and reptiles or birds. That's what you find. And so man is incurably religious. But if his religion isn't pure in his knowledge of God, which it's not, there's not this wisdom, there's not this righteousness. What happens is it becomes corrupt in its ignorance of God. There's this bigotry and idolatry and immorality. And wherever you travel in the world, wherever you go on this planet, you're going to find where man has been. What you're going to discover is that in their darkened, in their superstitious, in their corrupted and depraved souls, there is some knowledge, there's some remnant of the knowledge of God. And the reason why they're there is because they go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You can trace those remnants all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where man was expelled as a result of his disobedience. And after that, began to collect all these various gods. Now he's surrounded by all the inventions of modern science and technology. He's reached the height, the pinnacle of religious deception. And what he's done now is he's not worshiping snakes and birds and bulls. He's worshiping reason. That's so different from the Bible. How different it is from the Bible's way to God. It's not the way of the idolater. God's way is not the way of the idolater. It's not the way of the thinker. It's not the way of the moralist, if you will. It is the way of faith. It is contact and fellowship with the person of the Son of God. And what it does, it leads to light. It leads to love. It leads to purity and kindness and peace and joy. It takes care of and encompasses every human need. It destines the soul to an eternity in heaven and promises the body a resurrection and a glorious regeneration. And so with all of these things, it makes Paul want to break out to sing. I mean, because when you begin to realize how good, how glorious God is, I mean, it affects your mind. So this morning, if you're here as we end up, if you've never come to know Jesus, quit trying to work your way, think your way, reason your way to God. You cannot. Your mind is darkened. Your heart is corrupted. You cannot. Well, if I know my heart, you don't. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't. Your mind is darkened. We're just now getting back in the world to kind of some of the stuff that we still don't know how they made the pyramids. Still don't know how they built them. There are things all over this world. We have no idea how ancient man did them. And so ever since the garden, there was this downgrade, this degradation, this downfall of man. And man now through science is trying to climb his way back up through. And you're never going to reach God that way. You don't reach God through thinking or reasoning or trying to be a good person. You reach him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you've ever done that. Have you ever trusted Jesus and just quit trying to think it and figure it out and faith it out? And if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, who is God's highest, best, fullest revelation, you've got the spoken words, you've got the written words, you've got this word revealed in nature, and then Jesus is the fullest, most complete revelation of God. And today, if you trust Christ, again, he would save you.